Today's gospel reading is Matthew 14, 22 to 33. You will find it on page 16 in your pew Bibles. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
This is the word of the Lord. I was going to put my hand up when Ryan was asking about fears and say, "Preaching." However, there were other good ones. This passage is 11 short verses, and yet it is absolutely packed. So one of my problems in getting ready for today was what to focus on, because there is just so much going on in there. I think it's important to look back to the beginning of chapter 14 to give a little bit of context for what's happening. At the start of chapter 14, Jesus has just heard that John the Baptist has been killed by Herod. And when Jesus hears about John's death, it says that he tried to withdraw by himself to a lonely place. And I reminded myself of who John the Baptist would have been to Jesus. For one thing, he was a relative. He was probably a cousin. Secondly, it was John's mother, Elizabeth, that Mary, the mother of Jesus, went to shortly after she had found out she was pregnant and had become pregnant in a miraculous and mysterious way. And it was Elizabeth, John's mother, who comforted her and reassured her. John was also the one who baptized Jesus. Now, I have a question. How many of you remember who baptized you if you have been baptized? How many of you remember? Take a look around and see how many hands are floating up through the air. We remember who baptized us, and John baptized Jesus. And John also was the one who made the way ready for Jesus. So are we surprised that Jesus wanted to have some time on his own to process the grief and his pain at hearing of John being killed? No. And yet, as he tried to withdraw to a deserted place, even there the crowds followed him. And the disciples were there with him. And it says, as Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion for them and cured their sick, and he fed them. And then finally, he sends the disciples off across the lake to wait for him. He sends the crowds home. And in the evening, he finally has some time on his own to grieve, to pray, to process what has happened. And I suspect he probably was thinking partly about, what does this mean for me? It says in the text, when evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat was battered by waves and wind and was far from land. Early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking towards them on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. So these men have been in this boat all night. And lest you think that they were just, you know, inept boats people, they weren't. A number of them were fishermen, so they were master boatsmen. They knew what they were doing. And even these ones who knew how to handle a boat oh so well could make absolutely no headway against this storm. Then through the darkness, over waves, I don't know if you've ever been in a severe storm. I had the experience of being in a gale on one of the tall ships that operates out of Victoria. And we thought, I was with phys ed students, and we thought it was the most amazing carnival ride we'd ever been on. We stood up at the front and jumped up and down as the front of this big ship went up and down. And we were actually having a great time until the crew made us all sit down around the mainmast. And we realized they were nervous. Then we got nervous. So in the midst of this storm, in the midst of white caps, all of a sudden they see something in the distance walking across the water, through the wind that is howling. And they're not sure what this is. Now, one of the things I discovered that I thought was helpful was, it's not like Jesus had walked on water before. They had never seen him do this before. It's not like they could look out and see this figure and say, oh yeah, here comes Jesus. He's doing that walking on water thing that he does all the time. No. This was a new experience for them, and they had no idea who it was. So, I mean, are we surprised that they were terrified? I don't think I would have reacted any differently. I would have been, what in the heck is going on? Have I gone someplace that I didn't think I was going to go immediately? I mean, this was a terrifying experience. And they said, as we would, I suspect, it's a ghost. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And I love that little word, immediately. It's one of the words that's repeated in this passage. Jesus does not leave them hanging. You know how sometimes if you're feeling cruel would be too strong, but you know how sometimes you're tempted to leave people hanging in the situation that they're in, and you think, I'll show them how nice I am, how helpful I am, but I'm going to let them wait just a little bit longer until I help them. Jesus does not do that. Thank goodness. He responds to them immediately and says, don't be afraid. And it's interesting if you look through the scriptures how often God's first response to human beings is, don't be afraid. One of my favorite ones is from Isaiah. Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. I am the Lord your God. You are precious in my sight, and I love you. Now, in the midst of their terror, the disciples, if they even had thought about that, totally it escaped their minds, and all they know is that something very strange is happening. And I'm not sure that they even recognized his voice, because Peter, after all, says, Lord, if it is you. So this is something very out of the ordinary. Now, if this passage is about saying that fear means lack of belief, fear equals lack of belief, then I am in trouble. And I would suspect that I would have many of you as company, because it is not about fear equaling lack of belief. Now, it would be easy to go that route, because Jesus does gently chide Peter and say, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I'm going to come back to that later. But this is not a passage that is about a simple formula that if you just keep your mind or your eyes fixed on Jesus, miraculously everything in your life will be sorted out. You will never have fear, you will never have problems, and there will never be any sickness in your life. It's not a simple formula like that. And I found a quote that I'm going to read to you from a website called The Working Preacher. And this is what this minister says. My problem isn't that I don't know I should trust Jesus. Honest, I figured that out early on, and I have not forgotten it. It's just that no matter how hard I try, I seem to get distracted, worried, even overwhelmed at times by the waves all around me. I can find things to worry about just about anywhere. And while I know that I should trust them all to the Lord, it just isn't that easy. And truthfully, having another cheerleader, that's me, tell me from the pulpit what I should do but can't seem to do doesn't help. It often makes it worse. I'm not a cheerleader who's going to tell you that. What's key to remember in here, I think, is to notice what Jesus does and to remember that he responds to them immediately. He responds to them in the boat immediately. He responds to Peter immediately when Peter gets out of the boat and all of a sudden realizes what he has done. And no surprise, he becomes afraid. I mean, I think he was crazy to get out of the boat to begin with, but at least he got out of the boat. And then he thinks, oh my goodness, you know that horrifying moment when you think, what have I done? And again, it uses that little word immediately. Jesus responds to him immediately and reaches out his hand and grabs him. This is not a passage about being afraid and that equaling not having enough faith, and that if you did, somehow all of the problems in the world would be gone. Only God walks on water. That is not what we are about. But God does walk on water. And I found, again, another quote from a theologian called N.T. Wright, and it just is a small little thought that I actually had not thought about. As far as we know, walking on water in the literal sense wasn't something that the early Christians expected to do themselves. Paul, after all, facing shipwreck in the midst of a storm, never imagined that getting off the boat and strolling to shore was a viable option. I thought, that's true. Interesting. Faith for these disciples, and after all, these disciples are us, is about a mixture of courage and fear, of trust and doubt. And the word for doubt is interesting. It's a word that means to vacillate or to go back and forth. It is not the word that means skepticism. In other words, struggling to have any belief at all. So they were back and forth. And that is real in terms of life. The disciples and us will struggle to have faith. It's not about losing faith. It's about struggling to hang on to faith in the midst of everything that goes on. If it was about having enough faith and things working out, I had a very perverse thought this morning, which I sometimes do. I thought, I'll fill the baptismal font. And then those of you who have enough faith, I would like you to come up and demonstrate that you have significant faith and walk across the water in the baptismal font. We're not going to do that because it's actually not about it being enough faith. Now, I suspect that many of us have heard these kinds of words. If you just had enough faith, you would be cured. If you just had enough faith, you would have children. If you just had enough faith, you would be married to the perfect person. If you just had enough faith, you would have enough money. If you just had enough faith, you would always be safe. Your children would always be safe. It's what I call the spiritual bell jar. And I genuinely wish that somehow life was like that. But it isn't about just having enough faith. Faith is not walking on water. Only God does that, and even God does it rarely. But faith is daring to believe in the midst of the storm that God is with us. It's important to realize that when Jesus reached out and grabbed Peter's hand, the storm did not stop. What Jesus did was, he says, I am with you in the midst of the storm. He reached out and grabbed Peter's hand in the midst of the storm. Will Peter be afraid again? Well, we know that story. We know that as Jesus was being tried and people tried to suggest to Peter that he knew Jesus, Peter denied knowing Jesus three different times. Why? He was afraid. He was afraid for his life. To fear is to be human. But what Peter learns in the midst of struggling with fear and what that means in terms of his faith is that there is one who will come and be with him, who will reach out immediately and grab his hand and will be with him in the midst of the storm. There will be other times of fear and doubt for all of us and for Peter. But what we must hang on to is that there is one who hangs on to us. There is one who can come into the storm and be with us in it. Not because we have enough faith, but because he loves us. Amen.